Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this special episode of Up the Poshcast, Poshcast Live, or Live with Clive, however you take it. Obviously, there's myself, there's Harry, there's Dell, and there is Clive Edwards, our media and marketing, or head of media and marketing, ready to answer, hopefully, everybody's questions. We've got our own questions. The guys below me have got their questions to ask Clive as well, and we just want to explore further the brand evolution that we are undertaking over the next sort of 18 months, although I'd say probably 7 months. So, Clive, good evening. First things first, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for inviting me on. It's nice to be on and not just listen to the intro that I listen to every other week, but or every week even, or twice a week sometimes, isn't it? But yeah, cheers for having me on, guys.
So, Clive, the first question that I think is probably important, and we discussed this before you joined us, is that the club are very good at getting to know the players and letting the fans get to know the players. I'd like you to have the chance to share about you, and especially about you before you joined Peterborough United. So,
Sure. I mean, interesting first question. I wasn't necessarily expecting that. I've worked in marketing PR for maybe 20, 23 years. So interestingly, I guess for some people, if they're interested in marketing and PR, didn't go to university, so I did a what's called a modern apprenticeship at quite a large multinational company. Worked my way through there, and then I've worked in various industries, cinema. I've worked for quite a big online house sales company. I don't want to give away the names, but obviously anyone can look at my LinkedIn. I've also worked for various other companies doing similar jobs to what I do now, but maybe not quite as high profile in terms of supporters or customers. Not that we use the word customers, obviously. We would never do that. And now, obviously, I've been at Posh coming up for 18 months. Head up that team. You know, you've got people listening probably, you know, we'll know Joe and Phil in my team, but there's three or four other people that work, probably younger people, younger members of the team, who are doing the best they can do to deliver all of our media.
Very good. I mean, I guess on the rebrand, some of this was covered in the presentation on Friday, but maybe just give us a little bit on the genesis of this and how it came about. And maybe your personal involvement in where it started as well.
Yeah, so I mean, being completely honest and upfront, it's a project that has been talked about before, so it's not something that I initially brought to the club. It was put on my desk actually on the first day that I started and said this is something that the club would like to do and has talked about for maybe 18 months, I think. Probably even going back to the kind of the launch of the app and the launch of Posh Plus, I think that's probably where the question marks about the kind of fit for purposeness of the crest and the associated brands were there. And then we picked that up again probably around the summer, so you know, back end of the season. And then we took it to Darrow in October and we put a business case to him as to why we think this should be investigated. And you know, I've gone through those reasons previously, but I'm sure we'll touch on them again. And now we go through this consultation period with supporters, and we've got a process that we're going to go through. But it's been on the table for a while.
And there were, I guess, three proper press releases on this: the original press release, the update, and then the one announcing the fan forum. And within that, I think you highlighted primarily three key points, which was progressive, inclusive, and dynamic. Again, to a certain extent, touched on Friday, but it'd be good to know in your mind what those three words mean to you. Maybe in terms of Peterborough specifically, but what are you? What is a 10 out of 10 progressive brand look like to you? 10 out of 10, dynamic brand and an inclusive brand.
Yeah, I think inclusivity is a tough one. I wouldn't want to talk about other brands in terms of inclusivity. I think what we're looking to achieve as a club is changing the ethos internally and therefore changing the perception of the club maybe externally. We've talked a lot internally about looking for the next generation of fans. In order to do that, we're looking to create this inclusive culture. And I know there's been, you know, certainly online, there's been some criticism of that, which I think, you know, is probably a little bit unwarranted. But I think it's really important for us to look progressive. And it's not necessarily the brand per se. It's how we deliver. So you guys have talked about on a number of occasions, you've talked about it's not getting things right and things not looking quite right. And that's all part of what we're trying to achieve here. And one of the things that I really wanted to talk about, and it's probably the right time, is it's been kind of put to me that we should fix X, Y, and Z before we think about going down the route that we're going down at the moment. And what we think as a club and what we think as an internal management team is that what we're trying to do here is set some boundaries, set some guidelines, set some, boundaries and guidelines to allow us to be able to deliver the best possible brand, but also deliver the best possible fan experience. And I keep saying that the kind of the crest or the brand, it's just a small part of what we're doing. It's not the silver bullet. It's not the the be all and end all. I think I mentioned at the forum, you know, if we can impact 1%, 0.5% in that. In terms of progressive brands, those people that are adopting kind of all the standards that Chris has talked about, you know, our crest has limitations and isn't fit for purpose at the moment. Again, that doesn't mean we have to get rid of it. It just means we're not doing what we could be doing to be the best we can be. Does that make sense?
I mean, it's trying to understand, you know, what it actually means. Does progressive just mean changing to something new?
Progressive means that we're open-minded towards changes that need to happen, right? Progressive means that we're looking at the industry and we're looking at where we're good and where we're bad, and we're looking at what, I won't say our competitors, but our fellow clubs are doing, and we're trying to be the best we can be. That surely, is, for me anyway, would be the definition of us trying to be progressive, no?
Okay, so essentially, so progressive to you means looking at the market of what other clubs are doing, seeing that they're changing in certain ways and trying to replicate that to a certain extent, but also put our own stamp on it.
Put our own apply best practices, right? That's what this project is all about. I mean, if Chris was here, he'd talk to you at length as he did at the forum about the limitations and the various things that we need to do. And again, I know not everyone agrees with those things, but you know, that's the reality of where we find ourselves whenever we, you know, start a new project or where we talk about how we're going to implement things across digital or whatever. You know, it's a regular conversation that we're having.
Okay. One of the reasons I ask about this specifically is because I'm interested to know what the metrics are for all these, and so how we can be confident that we've made something that is more progressive, more inclusive, and more dynamic than what we've got already. And I guess it's still quite hard to, they're quite intangible concepts, and it's quite hard to envisage what actually you're trying to hit on all those metrics even now. Do you get where I'm coming from? I don't know.
Yeah, what the
target will look like, and you'll know whether you've hit it or missed it.
In terms of aesthetically or in terms of data or both?
That's a question to you. Maybe what you're saying is you want a more aesthetically pleasing badge, and that maybe hits your target dynamic. But again, I'm still not sure what the definition of the three words are, and without the definition, I can't know what looks good on all what brand would look good across those three those three words that you put out there in the press release?
I think it's about that simplification to a certain degree, and that would be where, when the project started, we would be looking to move in that direction. And that doesn't mean we're changing the crest completely and we're going to lose anything from it, but that would have been at the core of the first conversations, right? So there's various elements of the badge that don't necessarily represent the full, I've talked about before, haven't I? I've talked about the kind of the religious connotations. I've talked about various other things. I think by simplifying, modernizing, and taking into account all of the best design practices that exist at the moment for both traditional print, but also digital platforms, we would be hitting those markers. In terms of then putting some data behind that, our next step, which isn't just related to the brand evolution, is, are we getting new supporters in? Are we getting supporters of different demographics in? How is that working, and how do we move forward? That's the ultimate metric, right, from our point of view.
Okay, so I'll jump in rather than falling asleep listening to fucking Harry waffle on, because, you know, that's Harry. Anyway, Clive, so I'll get back to something simple. So we're saying we're potentially changing a badge to something more simpler. A few people have actually commented that the badge has already started to change. Now, if you look at some of the letters that come out to us fans regarding the season tickets or tickets or your, the lotto, you got your football with your top hat on. And that's becoming quite prominent across the board, if you know what I mean. You're seeing that more and more and more. Is that sort of part of the process is already starting, or is it just coincidence and people are reading?
Genuinely, that's coincidence, okay? So, and this is one of the challenges that I've had since I've sort of come into the role, and that is that all of those sub brands that you talk about, so whether that's the Lotto, whether that's Posh Plus, whether that's Rewards, etc., have all been created by different people at different times, and there is no continuity between them. I think there was a period before I joined the club where the top hat became a little bit of a feature, and I think it made its way around. You know, the Proud to be Posh logo that is in places within the ground. Obviously, Posh Rewards used it. Yes, it's coincidence, because the people that were involved in that aren't anything to do with anyone within my team or anyone within this project team. So I wouldn't personally, I can see why people are getting kind of, I don't want to use the word hung up, but kind of are attributing the top hat and saying that's what it's going to be, because obviously Chris's work has predominantly been taking a Spitfire plane or whatever, and the examples he's given have been taking a Robin and making it into a new base. So I can see why people are jumping to that conclusion, and also our kind of situation where there isn't anything necessarily that defines Posh as a symbol or an icon. So, you know, Chris knows that he's got a massive challenge on his hands to create something, because this isn't an easy project. But yeah, simple answer to your question, no, that it's not been a dry run, because that was the ambition that we had. Likewise, the away kit with the Posh badge this year wasn't related to this project. You know, that was a different discussion where we did discuss bringing back an old identity, obviously, but there was an anniversary relevance to that, and that's why we did it.
Okay, just so on that, when you said about the the designs that Chris has done for the other thingy during the presentation, it was quite clear that he's trying to get more of a pictorial recognition. Does that make sense? Yeah, but when you look at all these designs that he's done, they've all still got the club names round the badge, like Yeovil Town, like Eastleigh, etc. So, you know, is it missing a point? So I see where we're trying to get it basic, but we're still having to put down the club names around those badges. Is that something we're aiming to do with Peterborough, or do we just purely want to go with just a pictorial thing?
Okay, so, I mean, I've spoken to, obviously, probably hundreds of people on this subject now, and there's people that think we need to put Peterborough United Football Club. There's people that think we need to put Peterborough United. There's people that think we need to put Posh or the Posh, and there's people that think we don't need the name at all. We haven't given Chris a brief on any of those options. Okay. So the plan is very much for us to talk about all these things, for him to go away and design, I think I've already said, an option, maybe 6 to 8 options across the different types of crests that he's talked about. So the typography crests, the potentially the traditional crests, the modern crests, and the pictorial crests. And that would then come back to us probably end of March, at which point we go into more phases of talking to people through, you know, through the focus groups, through the forums, internally, fan groups, etc. So if Chris does have a vision in his mind, if he thinks that that's the way I want to go, A, he hasn't communicated that to us because he's been played everything very close to his chest as to what his views are following the week that he's just spent with us, which is a good thing, I think, because, you know, we don't necessarily want to already know or have an idea in our minds internally as to where he's going. But also, we've said we want to see options across the board. We want to see everything he can do. And this brief isn't the same as the brief he would have had at Yeovil or the brief he had at Eastleigh or the various other places he's worked, because it's a bigger club. It's got a massive amount of history and heritage that potentially some of the other clubs don't have in the same way. And also, we're operating in a higher division and we're more under the spotlight. So he's left the country this evening and he's under no illusions that there's a big challenge ahead.
That's fair enough. And to be fair, we were speaking to Chris and me and Ash was trying to get something out of him, but he's like, I've not actually touched it. He swore that he's not even touched it. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Clive. Not in a bad way, a little on the spot, but how would you like it to be? Surely you must have had some sort of idea in your mind what you can envisage it to be. So how...
Okay, I can be honest with you because I won't make the decision about how it will look. That will obviously be a decision made with, you know, thousands of supporters alongside a board of directors and ultimately Dara. I can tell you what I like. I like simplicity. So I like the Juve example that's been given. I like that badge. Some people don't, some people do. Now, I'm not saying that's what it's going to look like, but that's, you know, I'm being honest with you guys, right? We're on a podcast. I'm telling you what I like. But that's not the direction we will be going in. I think it's important that we take elements of the existing badge. We make sure that we keep, like 1934 is a massive thing that's really important. I think the founding year, for me anyway, would be really important. I'm not sure we need to keep Football Club on the crest, but I think Peterborough United is important. But these are my opinions, guys. They're not what we're going to do, and they're certainly not the brief that's been given. And I can tell you that if you asked everyone else in my team, they'd have different opinions. And if you ask Chris, he'd have a different opinion. And Dara will have his own opinion. And all of the supporters will have their own opinion. But the badge is not going to look like Juventus. So, you know, not
quite me here or whatever. That's good. As long as it don't
there's
end
a,
up like...
There's a soundbite for you, I guess, guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't let it end up like Cambridge. End of story. Because that will really piss everybody off. But anyway,
yeah, and you know, I think the reality is, and you know, Dara said he's a traditionalist, right? And we all understand football. We're not going to create a P version of the thing that they've created, right? That's just not going to happen. Not in a month of Sundays.
Do you know what? Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh when you said the Juve thing, but that was the biggest rage bait because that's Harry's least favourite thing. Like, out of all of this, yeah, he said that he hates that the most, and it just made me chuckle that was, without knowing, you managed to pinpoint that specific one.
But isn't that the point that's really important on this kind of platform, from my point of view anyway, is I hope I haven't gone out with the message that, you know, everyone's got to like what the club puts forward, you know, in the initial stages, right? What I've been trying to do, and I think we've made some mistakes, and I said that at a forum, I think the communication or the first communication that went out could have been in terms of its content. I was talked about timing, but in terms of the content, could have been simpler and clearer and could have given the objectives that we wanted the fans to understand rather than just our kind of logistical reasons. But the proof of concept was what I'm really trying hard to get people to understand. We need to do this. You know, in 3 months, if we're having a conversation about what we like, then I'm not going to say we need to do this or we need to do that. I'm going to say, yeah, it's subjective, right? You know, I said I like the Juventus badge. Someone might not. You know, I'm just being honest with you guys. And I think that's really important. I think it's important for us to be, you know, I talked a lot about transparency. I think there was a fear that there wasn't going to be transparency. I think there was a fear that fans weren't going to be involved. So that's really important to me, right?
So I just want to go into the comment section that we're getting, just because it feels like 2 weeks on that we still have people that don't quite understand what's going to happen and who's going to do it. So I'm going to hopefully pull them up. They have unfortunately blocked Del and Harry. So Ryan's come in and asked, like, without all the buzzwords and fluffy phrases, they're alienating for fans. Can we have it in simple terms? What the motivation is behind the change of badge? Because yes, I think that's important for everybody that's listening. Like, I think that we know between the three of us and four of us, but there will be people listening that maybe don't have that understanding at the moment.
Yeah, and obviously there was a slide, and I'll try not to use any fluff or jargon, and try and give it as clearly and concisely as possible. We had a challenge to communicate that in the best way. And as I said earlier, potentially we didn't. We refined that over the week. And I think the clearest way I can put that across is for us as a business, it's not fit for purpose anymore. It was at the time, and it served us well over the past, you know, sort of 15, 16 years. So we want to improve the usability of it across digital platforms and more traditional platforms. You know, a real kind of simplistic example of that again I gave at the forum was when our foundation tried to create a stamp with the crest on. They had to go through, I think, 4 or 5 different suppliers before someone could replicate it exactly, and then they had to go for a simplified model anyway. I think some of that was also cost related, so the cost it would have, you know, for the mold. But that's a really simple way of trying to explain how it doesn't work. If you look at our match day graphics on a number of occasions, you know, some people question the design and whether we should have based our design wholly around being able to fit our crest on. But we didn't. And if you look at the modern crests on that, they look brilliant in terms of visibility. And for us, it does, you know, for us, it doesn't always. There's a lot of technical stuff that I'm not going to go into in terms of contrast and various things within the crest that are challenging, but I won't go into that. The second point is we want to develop a suite of identities like a lot of clubs do, where we can tell our story, where we can talk about the history, we can talk about our heritage, we can allow fans to represent that history in different ways, whether that be through, you know, retail type items that people can buy, or whether that's purely through visual stuff that we do on Posh Plus and when the gaffer's doing interviews and things like that. And again, that's in the slides if people want to watch the forum. I think it's at about 22 minutes. So if you're going at that point, you can see it. Align our sub brands as well. So we've talked about Posh Plus, we talked about Posh Rewards. We've got about 9 or 10 sub brands that Chris is going to work on and bring that in line with the main brand that is created or the main crest that's created. We also want to align with our club goals. I again went through that at the forum, but you know, and it talks about progressive and sustainability, bringing in new fans, inclusive culture, that kind of thing. And we talked about that earlier with Harry's question. And finally, we'll be looking to develop, you know, new revenue streams and also commercial opportunities. So, you know, one of the benefits that other clubs have seen when they've rebranded is being able to go after different markets in terms of the commercial team and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's five reasons. We're going to put those five reasons on the website on Monday, just so they're very clear. We're also going to set up a dedicated section on the website so that any updates regarding this project, we don't want to ram it down people's throats. We really don't. You know, from my point of view, there's lots of projects going on. We want to keep everyone informed, but I think everyone wants to focus on some football for a bit. But there will be a dedicated place on the website for people to see you know, to see everything that's going on. So hopefully that answers the question. Or was that too far for you?
Well, we'll find out when the comments come back. So I know that obviously the line is that nothing's finalized. Let's say that I do still believe, and I've discussed this with yourself and Chris, that the end goal is that the badge that we have at the moment will change in some capacity. Let's say that the fans completely disagree with that and they don't want it. Is there a scenario where, let's say, yourself, Dawn, the CEO, and then Alex Harris take a good quality business plan to DMACC and say, look, the fans may not want this, but this is what we see the success of this being. And then the decision is yes, because ultimately, I guess that's sort of where you've started, is that there is a pipeline, is that actually you could take all of the negative feedback and give it, but then still sort of produce an argument that DMACC says, well, yes, actually, this is the right thing for the football club.
It's a difficult question in terms of, you know, Darren makes his own decisions, right? What we would,
he also listens to the people that he has beneath him and does frequently say that he takes the direction from them. And I'm assuming that in this scenario, although you're not on the board of directors, you are a key person in this decision, aren't you, realistically?
Yeah, so we have a management team, a senior management team, and I obviously sit on that, and as do, you know, Dawn and Alex that you've mentioned, and various other people. Look, what we will do is we will take to Dara our business case as to why we feel we need to do this, some of which I've just presented to you. We'll take all of the data that we have from supporters and all of the surveys and all of the focus groups, and he will make the decision. You know, I can't, you know, I think you know the answer to the question, that we're going to put the business case to him. And we're going to put the supporters' case to him. But I, you know, one thing I would like to make clear, and I don't know if it is clear, you know, I'm one of the biggest advocates for the fans within that senior management team. So when I've seen a push for certain things, or I've seen, you know, there's heat around certain subjects online, I've tried to do that. I've tried to be an advocate for the fans. And ultimately, I'm a football fan. I'm a football fan myself. You know, I love this game, been involved in this game in various different ways as a supporter and an amateur grassroots coach and whatnot for the best part of 40 years. I understand all of the issues. And if that hasn't come across, if it's come across that my role or my position on this is a very corporate one and I want to achieve things, and then that's not how I feel, you know, and we will all listen to what the supporters have got to say. What we've got to do, though, is try and build a situation where we're working together and find the actual objections to the project from the supporters' point of view, because at the moment it feels like there is a groundswell, certainly online, of I just don't want it to change, but no real justification for I don't want it to change. What we're saying is it might need to change, and these are our reasons why. So it'd be great to have, from my point of view, when I'm, you know, and I do try and engage with people as much as I can on X or when they email me, is to have kind of good, honest, factual conversations about people's concerns. If it's just kind of, oh, I don't want that, I haven't, you know, that's one metric that we could use. Obviously, we can say there's a certain amount of people that just don't want to change. But it's, you know, I don't know the numbers of that outside of kind of the heat of X. And, you know, but yeah, what was the initial question? Will we say to DMACC?
Do you think that there's a chance that all of the fans go against you and say, no, what Chris designs is crap, we hate it, but actually you, Dawn, the CEO, Alex Harris, and a few others can see the pipeline that takes us to a successful rebrand, and you can put that case to DMACC?
Well, in that question, though, if all of the fans have gone against a design or a set of designs that Chris has created, then you'd probably find that we'd have gone against it as well, because it would have to be really crap, right, for all of the fans to go against it. All I can say is what I've already said, which is that we'll be putting a business case together that, you know, 90% has already gone over to Dara. Chris has put a design case together, and now we are getting all of this feedback that we can from supporters. So, and Dara will make that final decision.
No, that's fair enough. So what you just said about there, you sort of respond to people on X, and the likes of me, you know, I'm not very diplomatic, you know, I try not to be too personal about people, but I am who I am, you know, if I can call a cunt a cunt, whoever, you know, sorry, people that's listening, but you know, this is not personal. So I think the point I'm trying to make is, I don't think anybody thinks that you're trying to do this just for you. I think some people, if I'm honest, probably don't have much faith in the department at the moment, for various reasons. You know, you look at the lotto that took 6 months before we even had the first draw, for example. We had the, you know, if that's part of your remit, we had the kids' junior posh Christmas party that should have happened in December. Didn't find out December, that's not happening. Not really heard any more about that since. And I think all these little things added up, which are not massive items, but then we come and talk about something that's huge, which is rebranding the badge. Have we got the faith in the team to actually make it work properly? And actually, going back to some other questions, do we have an update on the Chris Junior Posh Christmas party? I'm changing the subject totally, but
the Posh Lotto. Let's start with the Posh Lotto.
Okay.
That's a venture. It's a club-wide venture. So obviously we, as you know, you're now specifically talking about my team and the media team, right? We do the promotion for that, right? So we get information and we put that information out as and when it's available. And I think there's been, you know, there's been rationale for why things were delayed somewhat. And I think right the way through the project, there was a number that we need to hit, and we communicated that number that we needed to be hit in terms of signups before the lotto would start.
Yeah, it took a while, didn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, but you know, it took a while to get those numbers, right? And I think we then communicated out that the first draws would be in January, and those draws went out, and you know, they're now going out regularly. They'll go out every Friday. We get that information from the team that we're working with, who kind of do the administration of the lotto. Junior Posh party, the Christmas party. We had a lot of logistical, you know, issues that came up, and Junior Posh is a product that works across departments, including the kind of the football department. We wouldn't want to put a product out there or invite people in that either A, we couldn't invite everyone, and B, we didn't want to put something on that didn't involve the first team or the majority of the first team. And we had game after game, as you're all aware. I think I've gone out before and kind of apologized and said, the club went out and apologized. A few of us have apologized personally that didn't happen. And we'll plan better for next year. In terms of, is there an update? We are hoping to hold an event in the February half term. I am waiting on two people to give me confirmation on venue and participants in terms of players. And as soon as we have that information, it will go out. And I tell you that I've been pushing on a almost daily basis to hear that information so that we can get it out to supporters, because you know we've sold a product that includes a meet and greet, a party, and we want to deliver on that certainly before the end of the season, but long before the end of the season, hopefully the February half term.
Thank you,
Clive. I think that this is probably the right time to ask the question. Do you think that as a team that there's a case of maybe biting off more than we can choose sometimes? Like, and in reference to, like, obviously the lotto, it took time to build up to the numbers that we needed it to. Obviously the Posh Unfiltered podcast, we've not had one of those since the 12th of December now. The WhatsApp channel, we haven't had a message on since the 11th of January. And these are all good things. Like, when we introduced the WhatsApp channel, I was like, yes, this is exactly what I want. That's where I want all my news. I want it to come straight through to my phone. So I've got that. And do you think that this is just the next thing that adds into the pile of the rebranding of, okay, well, here's the new shiny thing. Let's put all of our energy into that. And then we'll then forget about some of the other stuff.
I see your point. The WhatsApp channel, just to be very clear, we're moving it over to a professional platform, and that's why it has been down longer than I hoped it to be. I hoped it was going to come back up for the game on that we just played. When was that? Saturday? Yesterday?
Probably best that it didn't.
So that will be back on Tuesday. So if we put that one to one side, because that's a match day, predominantly a match day communication channel that will go into the rest of them. In answer to your other question, though, I think we will always look to do as much as we can. And yes, we have kind of a demanding environment that we work in, and people want things and people want things launched, and we won't ever say no to that. What I can say is that we've appointed, we've got two members of staff in the team that we didn't have last year, and we've also got two volunteers in the team that we didn't have last year. So the resource and you know, Dara has to take a lot of credit for this, because he supported us in trying to move forward. The resource is more, and you know, that makes it better. Not that they are better, but that makes us stronger and in a better situation to be able to deliver on these projects. So I can see your concerns. I can see why it might look like that from the outside, but there's a lot going on in the background. There's also a lot going on in terms of, you know, changing of software, changing of processes that are there to try and improve us, and there to try and mitigate any of the kind of errors, mistakes, whatever you might want to call them, that have appeared in the past.
I guess let's bring it back around a bit more to the rebrand specifically. I don't know if you watched our pod, the first one after it was announced, and I sort of threw into the ether the question of whether the reaction that you got was the one you expected. I guess, you know, open question to you, what did you think the fan reaction would be, and how is the reality compared?
I think we always knew it was going to be an emotive subject. I probably felt that phase two of this project, so as in when we've got something that we might be looking at, would have developed the kind of heat that maybe we've seen on certain online platforms. But it was fast, and it's happened, and you know, we've tried to pivot and adapt. So you know, the fan engagement pieces that we've done, you know, we've done even more than we initially thought we were going to do at this stage. So yeah, I think we all knew it was going to be emotive, and we all knew that the timing was difficult, right? We had a launch, or we had a date that we were going to announce what we were planning to move into in terms of the project, and that was put back three or four times, you know, predominantly because of results and kind of online, you know, the feeling online. But as I said at the forum, that you know, I don't really think there was ever a good time to do this, but also never a bad time, because you know, the football landscape, our football landscape, changes, you know, so quickly, you know, and we can't really be in a position where everything that we do in terms of running the business of the club is based around the results on the pitch. And I know some people don't agree with that, and you know, people made me, you know, were very clear in their tweets to me yesterday that they don't agree with that, but that's what we've got to do, because otherwise there'd be, you know, 50 or 60 football clubs that didn't run their businesses because they're not in the top six or the top four of their respective division.
So that does sort of link quite nicely, because it is something that obviously you're not in control of what goes on the pitch. I think that's fair enough. Does it have to take so long, 9 months basically, to get to October where we get to that cutoff point? Was there never a scenario where it could have been 6 months or something? Not to like sort of rush everything, but if we were more organized, and it sounds like maybe some of the things that were going that happened over the last 2 weeks in terms of the fan involvement were never planned. I think that that's sort of what you've implied, is that they were never going to happen at this stage. Could there not have been a timeline where we started this in April when we had a better idea of sort of where we were football wise, to then maybe pull away from some of that negativity? Because ultimately, I do agree with you that there would never have been a right time. And if you'd have done it at this time last year when we were sat second in the table, the backlash would have been, why are you doing this now when we should only be focused on what's going on the pitch and trying to get promoted? So was there not basically a timeline where this could have happened in 6 months rather than 9 months, basically?
Okay. So in answer, just to cover off the first point, which was what was planned and what wasn't planned, the forum was always planned. The offer out to a youth forum wasn't planned, and we didn't have as big a kind of press event planned. It was going to be a press release out and you know, options for interviews rather than the whole event. In terms of the timeline, though, we have certain restrictions. Okay, so one of the things that we're looking at is when this would go on kits, obviously, and we have a drop dead on a certain date where we need to get that information over to Puma. We work back from there. We work the project back from there. We possibly could have shaved a month or two, but we wouldn't have been able to shave to the point where we knew exactly where we were, you know, from a football point of view. We just couldn't have started this project in early April and delivered by the date Puma need us to deliver by, if the project goes ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'll get another. I will get another fan question up. Why do Peterborough United need to be the next club to go through a rebranding when there are plenty of examples of much larger clubs, including some established in the Premier League, that still haven't?
We don't have to. We don't have to. That's the simple answer, isn't it? You know, we are proposing what we think is a strong business case for why we should do it. The two primary reasons being that, you know, the current identity isn't fit for purpose, and that's the term we're using. But that doesn't mean we have to change it. We can carry on.
Do you mind if I ask? So what are the examples? Don't get me wrong, there were some things in the presentation yesterday I completely agreed make it not fit for purpose. The fact that the winged lions wash out on print when they're on flags was a great example of where there's clearly a limitation that could be improved. But beyond that, you've given the example of the stamp, which I think is quite a niche one. Where else is it not
for purpose? For simplicity.
But where else is it not fit for purpose?
One of the examples that we've been giving to people is, you know, when you scroll through on an app, it's hard to define the Peterborough United crest. It's very intricate. It's got six, maybe seven different colours on it, which gives us challenges. And ultimately, that is just talking about the crest, right? What people are kind of not getting lost on, and I understand the kind of the primary thing for everyone is the crest. We're talking about all of the other sub-brands. We're talking about our brand alignment. We're talking about how we implement across the stadium. We're talking about how we implement across the training ground. The project is bigger than do we need to change the crest. Someone asked me, you know, could we keep the crest the same, or could we do a very, you know, a tiny amendment to the crest to kind of eradicate some of the design issues that we've talked about, and the print and the manufacture issues that we've talked about. And still create the suite of identities and still standardize across the stadium and still have that brand alignment across all of the other brands that we operate. And the very simple answer to that is yes, we could. But that may not be the decision that's made. You know, the challenges are there. And I think, you know, Chris is probably the best person to talk about the intricacies of the issues with the design. And I think there's a slide that I think the Paper Telegraph put out as well, which, you know, which documents various different issues. But I'd challenge people to look at our crest at a distance on a product and recognize it, to be able to read it, to be able to describe it, and their issues for us, aside from the fact that we have issues on the design, you know, all those design kind of technical issues that have already been discussed.
So it's primarily digital. The key issue that people look at these images on a small screen now, and that is one of the key factors for you that it need. I know it's not the only thing, but the stuff about the sub brands actually it's not totally irrelevant to that, but it's the sub brands can go ahead without a change to the badge. I mean, we saw the cream kit has Posh on it, and that was a pretty good kit launch, right? Good sales on it, well received. No badge change needed for that. It sounds like the not fit for purpose element is largely intrinsic to the badge as opposed to the sub brands, right? Because there's nothing stopping you changing any of the sub brands.
Yeah. And as I said at the top of the question, you know, I gave that example. People have asked whether that could happen, and that could happen. That may be the decision that Dara makes. But the example that you gave in terms of the print on the flags and the print on the larger banners and stuff like that. And look, honestly, next time you walk around the stadium, look at the various different versions of that badge that have to be edited, cut differently, print differently to make it work. And then, you know, just count them up. I'll do it next week. I'll give a breakdown of the various different things that I see when I walk around the stadium every single day that we are considering as limitations at the moment.
You know what, all of that is fair to say, but from a normal person like me, who's got no idea about media, I've got no idea about many things, you know, the badge looks like the badge, and I just don't understand, and a lot of people don't understand why it needs to be so specific. You know, you say you're going around the ground in so many different designs of the same badge. I've not noticed, to be fair, if, you know, unless you go sort of, I am going to start looking. Now you've said, I'm going to see how many different ones just for the sake of it. So for the likes of me, initially, when it first came out, you know, you saw my response. I'll stick to this one, which was the original badge. But then Dan Wood come back and said it's like 134,000 stitches or something. Yeah, I get that, why you don't want to do an embroidery one. So from an outsider who doesn't know much about technology and shit, as you can tell, is I don't get it. But I'm listening to more and more and more, and like, you know what? It doesn't really bother me, if I'm honest, about it changing. I think it's more of how it would affect me. And I know a few other people's how it would affect me. So it has got a cost. I know we've only spent about $3,000 so far. But if it's got to go ahead, the badge changes. So as you say, everything around the ground's got to change. Hopefully we get sponsors in and they want to pay to sort of change the logos. But then you've got the colour of the whatever colour we choose to go. Does that mean the kits will always be that same colour? Will all the seats and the stand have to be changed to be that colour? And lots of different things. So I did mention it the other night about the cost. And I'm just concerned there's going to be a massive, massive cost implication, because it's not just the badge, it's everything else that goes with it. And a lot of fans don't really want to be sort of paying extra for it, if that makes sense. Sorry, 36,000. I was close, Dan. But yeah, so it's not a pop. It's just that from somebody who doesn't understand media too much, I still don't see why. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so that felt like, are you asking me why a supporter should, or are you saying how much is it going to cost?
Both, mate, both.
in terms of cost. As I think it was you that asked the question on the night. We've scoped what it will cost. It's nowhere near what I imagine supporters would think it would be. And we, until the project signed off, we can't give a final. You know, we don't know what Dara wants to do in terms of the rollout. And the example I gave was, we may do a digital rollout first. We may do phase a physical rollout over a period of time. The reality, though, is in terms of the cost, in terms of the actual cost, you know, it's fractional. You know, the projects that we're involved in at the stadium predominantly is fractional in terms of the overheads of the business. So, you know, I don't know what the perception would be. You know, if we're saying Any project that is a media project, we wouldn't want to spend a pound on it. Then obviously there's an issue, but it's fractional. I'm being completely honest with you, and it's not going to impact the club in the way supporters may think it will.
Clive, the interesting thing on that, and maybe the one thing that I only sort of had one question to ask after Friday, and I wanted to be selfish because I wanted to save it for here rather than ask it in the Q&A. I would say that there are four events that, outside of like transfers and all that sort of stuff, there's four events that fans look forward to, and that is your three kit releases. And then I don't speak for all fans on this, but fans do really like the new season graphics and what comes with those. Do you think that you potentially lose some of the engagement and excitement if we go for this is our typeface, this is the text that we're going to use, and it's going to be consistent for the next sort of 10 years or so? Do you think that you lose some of that engagement and excitement with some of the fans, certainly on social media, I would say?
No, I think there's interest. So match day, for instance, graphics, there's cool ways in which we can, kind of innovate and make things different. The font that we're using at the moment, the font that we use on the majority of graphics that we use is standardized to a certain degree. I'm not necessarily sure that's a problem personally. Because like this year, for instance, we really went hard on Joe's imagery, right? Because I don't think anyone around the table would say the photography at the club isn't, top class, best in class, in fact. And we made a conscious decision to kind of highlight that and work with that as the key method. So, the actual match day graphics are probably quite, the actual design work involved in them is slim, right? In terms of kit and retail, that wouldn't necessarily need to be standardized, right? I think there is certain scope for us to be able to move away from that brand if we're launching a kit, as we have done this year with all three kits. The graphics that came out weren't our standard club fonts that exist at the moment. And the stuff we're going to do with kit launches this year, we've got various people working on them. I think they're going to be, I think the engagement will be massive. I really do. So watch this space, I guess, is what I would say with kit launches this year. Does that make sense? Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm with you. It was more from a point that I was sat there and thinking, well, if we're going to have the same font for the next 20 years, let's say, alongside the graphics, does that then lose some of the excitement of, I know that it was Knox County, wasn't it, that we properly used new graphics because the graphics before that were trash, but they were a freebie, weren't they? Do you know what I'm saying? Is that you lose that excitement, that build up, that drama, if you sort of know, you've got an idea of what it's going to look like. That was my point.
And the typography, maybe. But no, we don't know how we could. We may have ideas around how we bring in, secondary and tertiary fonts into that through different graphical kind of like. It's endless. Look, it's not going to be boring. We're not gonna bore you. That would be my message. And certainly with the kit launches, we're not going to bore you.
That's good. I mean, firstly, Clive, I think you've done a really good job here of making it clear how you're not wedded specifically to anything, and neither is anyone else behind the scenes here. So if I'm making the case from the status quo, please recognize that I'm saying it knowing that you're not necessarily saying that we're definitely going to change and that anyone who likes what we've got is wrong. One thing I personally struggle with in Chris's presentation is that I think the premise is flawed for a club of our size. The idea that our identity is the crest and that every crest is the club's identity, we use that multiple times. I believe that any club's identity is the football they play and that the marketing supports that. And really, if we're trying to match digital up and improve commercials, which are probably two of the key factors, while of course it's easier for you on one hand to make the digital element easier, fundamentally, the thing that's going to sell more shirts is having more fans in the ground, which will come from being in higher divisions, which is, of course, is the football. And in the absence of better football, changing the crest is tinkering around the edges. And I guess it's hard for some people to think, why should we change, or are we over-optimizing in a direction that forgets the fact that it's the product on the field that will make the fundamental, the fundamental factor in whether we're more inclusive, if you want to say. People will come to the ground more if the football's better, right? Not because the badge looks better on a digital format. Do you think that is a fair challenge? And if you don't, how would you respond to fans who have that kind of view?
I don't think that I'll look back through the presentation. I don't think the case was made that there will be a direct correlation between the, a new crest and us suddenly getting, 2,000 people more through the gate. I don't argue the premise.
That is fair. You're right. I don't think that was said, first off. Yeah.
So I agree with the premise that we go up to the championship, crowds will go up. But I do think that it shouldn't be what we're trying to do in the team, and what we're trying to do with this project. It's us trying to be the best that we can be, and us trying to set, part of this project is, a full brand guidelines, which the club hasn't had before. Part of it is a full writing style that the club hasn't had before. Part of it is launching a new social media scheduling tool that will allow us to moderate better the work that goes out. It's not one part, it's not just a crest for me. It's not just a crest. It's part of a wider change to the marketing strategy and the communication strategy that we've got at the club. So it's about being the best we can be. And I don't think we can necessarily stop trying to be the best we can be purely based on the results on the pitch. But I don't argue your premise, of course. Better football, higher division, more fans. Yeah, of course.
No, thank you. So I've just got a bit of a suggestion, really. I do like my little suggestions. So obviously, whether we like it or not, and whether the fans like it or not, we're going to go through this process, 100% going through this process, which no issues with. Have we got like a focus group together? We know that Chris, what's his name? Chris is sort of Fine. Gone away to design his thingy. And I know you had the meetings with the supporters trust and all that beforehand. Now, would it be worth having like a focus group together where you got one person from the supporters trust, you got some people in somebody in media, an old supporter, a young supporter, so you could all sort of communicate, work together to just make it a little bit better. So there's more people involved.
I think we said on Friday that the plan is very much to implement focus groups of various different demographics. That's something that will happen, 100% will happen. Chris has to go away and start the process from his point of view. So, he is set in some ways. He's advised us on the process and on the timeline. And that was for him to use this month to learn as much as he can about the club, and to engage with the fans as much as he can and take away as much information as he can. He will return to us his initial thoughts, and they are initial thoughts. And at that point, we will go into more forums, more focus groups. And that won't just be, it will be the supporters groups, but it won't just be the supporters groups. There will be other focus groups and forums that will be set up.
Okay. And any danger they'll remember? No, there's no chance. So just before Ashley loses it, was there anybody else that we considered speaking to rather than Chris? Or was Chris the only person that was...
We looked at other agencies. We talked to other agencies. I obviously can't disclose who they are. That wouldn't be fair publicly. But what we wanted to do was, we were keen, and I was keen to work with someone who was kind of, he doesn't work independently. He has people that he works with, but I didn't want a big agency. I didn't want an agency that, looks at multi-million pound brands and, didn't know football. I wanted someone that had worked in football and someone who had a passion for designing in football, whether your personal preferences is work or not, this is his passion. He's been doing it for the last 10 years, more than 10 years. And I think at a, you know, I think everything added together, we've made a good decision in Chris. You know, he's fully committed to the project. He's also, you know, he has spoken to the club previously. There's longevity in his interest in working on this project. So I think it's the right decision. And thus far, in terms of his presentation, in terms of the conversations I've had with him, in terms of his commitment to engaging, in terms of his commitment to being in the country and visiting Peterborough and staying here for 10 days or whatever it was, I don't think anyone at this stage can question that. You know, the time will come when we look at his work and we say, do we like it? Do we not like it? Could it change? Could it be better? But that's not this stage.
Good. Another good link, Clive, without knowing what we're going to talk to. So I think we said that we'd probably do an hour. So if we probably do 5-10 minutes just to wrap up, I'm just going to go through quickly and pull up some questions. And I think that this is probably quite relevant to what you've said. Will we be seeing the badge step by step, or will it be shown as a final product?
So obviously, if we're going to do the focus groups and stuff, that won't be based around one idea. That will be based around concepts and around what we, you know, what we're thinking, because otherwise we won't be able to get any feedback. If we come with just a final design, then that's a, you know, quite a binary conversation, is it? I like it or I don't like it. So I think yes is the answer to that.
This one's come up as well. Obviously, the main goal being new fans from this. Where do we plan on finding them? Like Peterborough, you can only go so far, can't you? How can we expand our fan base from a new band and sub identities to go with?
So by doing more things like we do at the moment with schools initiatives, by doing more things like we do with the grassroots initiatives, by going out to, you know, kind of subsets of supporters like we have with, you know, we've launched a disability supporters group recently. We've launched obviously the LGBTQ+ supporters group as well. But I think the secondary bit to that question was, you know, something I think about the football being better and look, we're not here to argue the fact that the primary product is the football, right? It would be a stupid argument to have. So this is one thing that the club's trying to do to be the best we can be in the areas that my team can control. That it's not the correlation to the football, you know, it not isn't part of the conversation or shouldn't be part of the conversation. But I someone said right at the top, that's not my remit, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. And then, do you know, I don't know whether the guys have got anything else that they want to ask just before we wrap up. It probably feels like a good time just to ask sort of how you've dealt with, obviously, the grief. I know that I contribute sometimes maybe, and there's been lots of people that have maybe crossed the line a little bit. I don't think I personally crossed the line. I just pull out spelling mistakes and make silly comments. But there was obviously a few that I would say definitely took it too far. And how have you dealt with that yourself?
No, I mean, you know, you guys make valid points, sometimes online, sometimes offline. I've not got issue with that. In fact, you know, it drives us in some ways, you know. There is a Will Ashley have seen that now list on the wall in the office. So, you know, and that's a good thing, because we want to be the best we can be, and I don't endorse any mistakes that are made. I have rationale, and I've talked to you about those offline, but I've got plans and kind of, you know, systems and things that are moving in process to try and change that. How do I deal with it? Look, supporters are entitled to their opinion. They can say what they want. I don't endorse people crossing the line and saying some of the things that have been said, because I don't think that's good. But, you know, I'm a pretty old guy. I'm not young. Yeah, it's broad shoulders, and let's just work together and have a laugh, you know.
Wicked. Harry, Del, are we done? Do we think?
No, I'm done. No, thanks for coming on, mate.
My favourite biscuit is a bourbon biscuit. Thank you for coming on. If someone's asked.
Clive, you know the rules. You know how we finish this. We know that you listen. You know what you've got to say, don't you?
Up the podcast. Is that it? Yeah, there you go.
That's the one. Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Hopefully, we've managed to ask a couple more questions that maybe people weren't able to ask. I'm sure there'll be our critics, like there is always. But thank you, Clive, for coming on. And hopefully we can maybe do this again in a couple of months' time when we are slightly further down the line. And I've also discussed with Chris that I'd like to have him on when we've got further down the line. So again, thank you for your time.
Yeah, 100%, guys. Thank you.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.